You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
A lot of NFL news as well, because it's not just, you know, the next month and a half, 2 months, really, 2 months and a half getting ready for the NFL draft. But also keep in mind, we'll be getting ready for free agency. And you had Adam Schefter come out about, I want to say it was about 2 weeks ago, he came out and said that he's expecting over 18, the over-under, he put the number out, 18 quarterback changes out of all 32 teams. Over half. That's pretty amazing. So the quarterback carousel looks like will be more active this season than any other. Also, we've got a golf tournament going on right now, and that is the AT&T Pebble Beach, taking place, of course, out there in Monterey. And the first tee time, I want to say, is 11:30. Yeah, 11:39 is the first tee time. So definitely before then, I will get you some winners if you so choose. You want to put some coin on the final day on Sunday. I will share with you some of the odds out there, some of the matchups that I like heading into today. And so we'll dive into that as well. Again, 800-919-3776. But first, let's kick it off with the Knicks. You know, and Ty, I'd love to bring you in on this conversation, because I know you like to talk about basketball as well. But, you know, again, they do win last night, 121-99. Against Houston. And, you know, there's some stats in prepping for the show today. There were some stats that I came across that were really glaring to me, right? Just beyond the fact, obviously, that they're 13 and 15 now, number 7 in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, if the season was to end today, obviously we know they would go into the postseason, the first time that they've been number 7 since 2013. 2-game winning streak by double digits. Okay. Who is this team? Held Houston to 37.5% shooting from the field, 18.6% shooting from three-point range. But here's the thing, and great defense, right? They've got the number 4 defense in the league right now. I know, somebody pinch me. Teams are only averaging about 109 points a game per 100 possessions against them. And they're scoring around 108, 109 per 100. So they've got the 25th offense in the NBA and the 4th best defense in the NBA where they stand right now. Now, that isn't shocking to me, because if you recall and you go back, you know, when Thibodeau was hired here, you know, that was one of the exciting, positive things that Knicks fans were expecting from this organization and bringing him in. Thibodeau, a defensive genius, and definitely sets the tone and changes the vibe and the attitude and the persona and swag of NBA teams that he coaches, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So here's the thing, though. Did you expect them to be be in the top 5 in defense right off the bat his first year coming in? I didn't at all. So, you know, this team, and I'm sure we're all in agreement here, is far exceeding expectations for me. And I know we're getting closer, and we had Tommy Beer on with us yesterday, who covers the NBA for Forbes, and we had the discussion because we're getting close to you know, the trade deadline, and is Bradley Beal going to be dealt, and should the Knicks package up players as well as draft picks, because they do have a lot of draft stock? Is this something that they should do? And I'll tell you what, Ty, I understand that this team is missing a big time name, and that's what you need. Of course, you need 2, actually. Let's be realistic, to really make some noise and make a run at anything in the NBA, and just not just make it to the postseason and then get bounced in the first round. But and not to take anything away from Beal, and he's having an amazing season. I'm on the fence right now in regard to, this team is doing so well. Do you really want to disrupt the chemistry and what we've seen so far for Beal? And based on what you have to give up for him, the number of players And we, of course, we talked about it. What we talked about, Randall and RJ Barrett, right? Along with the draft picks yesterday. That's kind of like, isn't that what Dave Rothenberg also suggested in, on his Saturday show? I just don't know based on what we've seen so far this season in such an early stint that that's really the wisest thing to do right now. And again, not a knock on Beal. He's a great basketball player, but you know, is he like a Luka? No, he's not. Right. Like I just, and obviously the Knicks are going to have to, I would imagine, do their due diligence and call and see what deal they could work out. But I would imagine if the 76ers are coming after him, and I'm trying to think. I mean, there's a number of teams that are in the market to land Bradley Beal. I have more to offer with less to lose. That's what I'm searching for right now. There are other teams that have more to offer with less to lose in changing the makeup of their team than the Knicks. I just don't know if that would be the wisest thing to do, even though, oh, it'd be great to have Bradley Beal, bigger name, bigger face, you know, doing great this season in the NBA. I really enjoy watching this Knicks team. And I like where they're headed. And again, I'll just go back. I'll hang my hat on far exceeding expectations. Not to say that I didn't expect them to get here with Thibodeau, but not this quickly.
Absolutely. And the fact that we are on Valentine's Day having a discussion about the Knicks being in the playoffs is a win, because I will admit I was wrong about this team. I said they were going to be a very fun and exciting 50-loss team. And with the infusion of youth with Quickley and Toppin and RJ Barrett, it was going to be that you were given a reason to watch them because you want to ultimately see them hit their ceiling, whatever that is. But they weren't going to win any games. But right now, you mentioned they're the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. And when the playoff seeding goes 10 deep as far as qualifying for the playoffs, the Knicks right now, you'd have to, if you're a betting woman, if you had to put your money on something, on any outcome, you'd say the Knicks are going to make the playoffs. Like, that, it is more likely that they
this?
Make the playoffs than not.
I'll go one step further with you. If I gave you $100 and I said you could either put $100 that the Mavericks or the Knicks are going to make it to the postseason, where would you put your money?
That is tough. It's going to be Dallas. And if you had asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would have said the Knicks, just because Dallas had been playing so poorly. They were literally one of the worst teams in the Western Conference. But they've won four straight games. They're now, I believe, they're in one game back of being the eighth seed. So I would go Dallas. Obviously,
here's
the more talented team. And the West is deeper.
So really quick, two things, right? Number one, the West is deeper. That's number one. Number two, you are banking. You're not. We know what Dallas can do when KP's healthy.
Yes.
So what you are doing is you're taking the $100, and you are banking on KP's health, because KP's not healthy. They are one of the worst teams from downtown now.
Yes.
They went from like their 3-point shooting. They went from like over 50%. They're down to like
30 something. Yeah.
Last
season they were. It was an historic offense. Like mm-hmm. the numbers they put mm-hmm. up on that side of the ball was historic. And this year they've taken a dip. They've lost some players. Seth Curry's now with Philly.
Exactly.
But yes, so Dallas, I agree on the fact that it's a deeper conference, so the challenge is greater. But in the end, you've got Luka Doncic, one of the 5-7 best players in the league. They're going to make the playoffs. But the
Knicks. Time out. Before we move on, because this is interesting. And let's open up the phone lines. 800-919-3776, because this is what I'm going to do. And we just stumbled upon this, people. Understand that, okay? Ty and I just stumbled upon this topic. I'm going to take $100 at the end of this show. At the end of this show, Ty, I'm going to take $100. And I'm going to put it on either the Knicks or Dallas making it to the postseason.
Can you put it on both?
No, I'm not going to put it on
just
both.
One.
I'm going to put it on one. So I say Knicks. I say Knicks. And my argument is, again, you hit on it. The West is a lot more competitive, a lot more deep. And there's a reason why the Knicks traded KP away. I mean, and I've talked about it for years now. And he's just genetically, the way that his body is.
Genetically.
And, well, I mean, it's
true. It sounds
funny
when you phrase it that way, though, genetically.
It's true, though. You know, his body is not one to take the pounding in the paint. It's just not. And he's constantly getting injured. So, you know, and again, like, I just think if you're going to take that $100, and if, you know, we'll have open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. We can have this discussion throughout. I'll ask Moke Hamilton's going to come on with us at 9:30. And we'll make a decision at the end of the show. But again, my argument is a lot of competition and very deep Western Conference. And you're really betting that KP is going to stay healthy, because if KP does not stay healthy, there's no way Dallas makes it to the postseason. And I'm not willing to put $100 on that. I'd rather put $100 of my hard earned working money on the Knicks to make it to the postseason based on what I've seen I'm impressed.
Oh, of course.
I'm impressed.
They've been stellar. One of the surprises of the league, and a lot of credit given to Tom Thibodeau. I was one who questioned the hire, but he's had a tremendous impact on this team. And we mentioned yesterday on your show that Mitchell Robinson is going to be out now 4 to 6 weeks with the fractured hand. It's going to compromise them defensively, but you know, with Quickley and Randall continuing to excel, especially on the offensive end. This team is going to be in pretty good shape. They're going to be in great shape. And the Eastern Conference is a disaster. The top five teams in the East above 500, 6 through 15, all below 500.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks have an excellent chance to make the playoffs this year. Absolutely.
Are you talking yourself into switching you're making the argument for me.
Both, yes. But here's the thing, Anita. I think both of the teams are going to make the playoffs. But you're saying which team has a better, like, if at the end of the season we said only one of these teams made the playoffs, Dallas or New York, which team would I say it was? I have to go with Dallas. It's the more talented team.
All right, marinating this as we go to a break, because I know the phone lines are lighting up and this is going to be fun. In the Western Conference, Utah is just kicking butt and taking names, as well as the Lakers, but that's no surprise. Utah 22-5, the Lakers 21-6. Where it stands right now at 8, it's the Golden State Warriors. They're 14-3. Dallas is 13-4, and they have won 4 straight, like Ty said. But again, a big reason for that is because KP has been healthy, active, and attractive for them. Their three-point shooting percentage is way down from last year. I just don't want to bet that KP is going to stay healthy for the remainder of the season. They've got Sacramento, Memphis, the Pelicans, as well as the Rockets on their coattails. Just FYI. I like the Pelicans, by the way. As for the Eastern Conference, towards the top, you've got the 76ers, the Bucks, obviously the Nets, and we're going to dive into the Nets. You know, that big three gelling, we saw it really firsthand last night against the Golden State Warriors. And then you've got Toronto at 8. Well, you've got the Knicks at 7 at 13-15. You've got Toronto at 12-14. And some of the other teams, obviously the Miami Heat, the Hawks, the Bulls, the Magic, the Cavs, that is who are on the heels of the Knicks. So just to kind of give you an idea of what the landscape is right now in regards to the NBA standings.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Dallas, to make it to the postseason, -280. Okay. For yes, -280.
So that's
okay.
A good value on that. I might put in for
well,
it.
Well, no, that's actually it's minus.
Oh, minus.
It's horrible.
I'm sorry.
Right.
You said so, plus 280. Minus.
No, no, it's -280. So okay. That means I'm going to lay $100 down for us to win $35.71.
Yeah,
okay.
Not good.
Now, if you say no to Dallas, you're laying $100 down to win $220.
Right. Yep.
It's +220. Now, if you say yes to the Knicks to make it to the postseason is plus 210. You're laying $100 down to win 210.
Shows you I'm right.
Well, the odds makers are agreeing with you.
Yes.
That's why minus 280. Yes. But I think there is more value in making this wager that the Knicks make it to the postseason. I mean, come on, 210?
Oh, yes,
I
just those are two different
things. I just stumbled upon something that I really, like, I know this is a show exercise and we're about to take calls, and we will have a final show decision on where I'm going to place this $100. But beside that, I'm being honest, like, I might put another $100. Like, even if we decide to go with Dallas, I just might take $100 and put it on the Knicks to make it 210. I think we stumbled upon possibly helping people make some serious coin.
Here's the caveat, though, for you, and it's going to work in my favor. We don't yet know what the mentality is for the Knicks heading into the trade deadline. Are they going to be buyers or sellers? There is a possibility. Tommy Beer was on yesterday. They have potential packages to trade for Bradley Beal. But on the other side of the spectrum, there's also a possibility they can be sellers. Julius Randle is value-wise at the peak of his career. So could you potentially get a first-round pick for him back? You trade him to any contender, Utah, whatever. Could you get a first-round pick back for Julius Randle? Now, if they become sellers, that means that stock is going to increase for you, that there's going to be more value. But for me, it means that there's a likelier chance that the Mavs make the playoffs because the Knicks are obviously going to have a precipitous drop if they trade their best player.
800-919-3776. Let's go to, is it J-Ron? J-Ron in Jersey?
Hey,
J-Ron, you there? Good morning. Hi.
Hi. I kind of disagree with what Ty was saying about Julius Randle there. I think you hold on to Julius Randle. You don't make a trade for Beal because at this stage, the Knicks have built themselves into some good flexibility and players and assets. So you keep those guys. If you trade for a Beal, you're left with the Melo situation where who's playing with him now? You go out and get these guys, and you still don't have another guy. So you just look like Washington with different uniforms.
Ty?
Oh, well, I never said that they should trade him. I just said that it's on the table that they do. But I agree with him. At 26 years old, he's having a career season. This is the type of guy you want a part of your team. He's young. He's shown you that he's got a tremendous offensive upside. So I would keep him as well. I wouldn't trade him.
So, and J-Ron, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. To compare him with Melo, again, and we opened up the show talking about this possibility, and again, I just how this team is competing right now, where they are right now, where they're headed. We need to as well discuss organizational culture, and we talk about this a lot when it comes to the NFL and losing organizations within the NFL. And I'm going to use the Cleveland Browns for an example. Stefanski won Coach of the Year this year. Why? It wasn't just because, and granted, yes, a big reason is because the Cleveland Browns did so well, okay, for sure. But the biggest conversation when it comes to Stefanski is how he changed the organizational culture to a winning culture in the NFL. And I think, and I see a correlation with what Thibodeau is doing with the Knicks and changing the losing culture there. And there is a price tag that I believe you have to place on that. So I understand what you're saying, Ty. Well, wait a minute. They're winning right now. Fourth defense. What do we say? 25th ranked offense. They're seventh right now in the Eastern Conference. But, are they going to sell the farm off to get Beal and bring him in? Maybe they take a step back. I don't think that would be advantageous for the organization as a whole if they did that, because what they've done so far trying to what's the word I'm looking for? I'm searching for words this morning. I apologize. When you try to eliminate something, like trying to like wash clean the losing culture that has encompassed the Knicks organization for over a decade now. I think that's I know that's a bigger conversation to have, but it's just as important, I believe. Let's go to Larry. Larry, welcome in.
Hey, good morning. First time caller to any show. I have.
Oh, that's nice. Well, Larry, how does it feel? How does it feel to call into Sports Talk Radio?
Well, it feels pretty good. I'm not too young, Amir, so you'll have to watch. I have a hard time picking my words like you are this morning.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. It wasn't like it was a late night last night or anything.
No, man, I'm too old. My words don't come out that well anymore. As I told you, Screener, I've been watching the NBA since 1950, and I've seen the major transitions in the game. But you talked me into going dollar-wise. I would definitely pick the Knickerbockers. It's like picking a stock, which was a greater up chance, a greater, better dollar value. The value are the Knickerbockers to pick. So you changed my mind. Originally, I was going with the Dallas team. But I thought the Dallas team was playing better now. I think they were trying to help their owner get out of the funk that he put himself in with the national anthem problem. So that's been my opinion. I enjoyed listening to you. I only have one thing I must say that I've been really upset about. I've noticed that the NBA has become a little like the Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has juiced up the ball so you had home runs all over the place. The NBA has done it a different way. They've told the officials, do not make calls. Let's have a running gun game. As I said, I refereed basketball besides being a dentist. And this is a continuation of the AAU leagues that I used to referee on Sunday mornings and certain nights of the week, where it's just run and gun, shoot, take your turn shooting, and that's what's happened to the NBA. I know Walt Frazier can't stand it, but he's had to calm down. You don't want to say things that are too negative when you're doing announcing for the Knicks, but the game is. And about Thibodeau, I think, would want to have Beal. He is a person who likes to have veterans. He burns them out, but he likes to have veterans, and therefore he's never made it a winning team continuous. He makes a good team, but it never gets to the extra level. And he's shown that with Chicago and with Minnesota. And I think he will make this team go, but whether he can make the next step might be another coach. I want to thank you for listening to me.
Larry, you're adorable. Thank you for calling in. Ty, we were his first on Valentine's Day.
There you go.
Marinating that for a minute.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, Ty, any update in regard to the Happy Valentine's text messages you're sending to your dude friends?
I still got one more I got to send out, but I can't figure out who I want to send it to.
Oh, okay.
Without them thinking I'm just a weirdo. That's the problem. A lot of pride on the line here. Which is why I had to text Kai. Follow up on what I had initially said. He ignored me for the first 10 minutes. I had to follow up because I didn't want him to think I was a weirdo.
You're not a weirdo. Who follows me? Is Chris Carlin follows me, right?
Chris Carlin and Bob Wischusen.
Oh, there we go. And Bob. Woohoo!
Bob's in the house today.
You know what? You know what you should do? And not that I'm producing their show for them or telling them what to talk about, but you should clip that part of the interview with Steve Verderosa talking about what the Jets should do and the difference between Zach Wilson and Sam for them. I think that's that was pretty interesting information. As we know, the Jets, they need quarterback. They need, you know, obviously one would think that they need better quarterback play, right? Pass rush, secondary. Marcus May is going to be a free agent, by the way. I'm sure that Bob and Chris are going to dive into all of this. You know, there's also the speculation, you know, can the Jets package up that number two overall pick and go after Deshaun Watson? You know, what would be the best plan A, plan B, plan C? In my opinion, packaging up that number two pick and going after Deshaun Watson, I think, right, like Ty, you're a big Jets fan. Wouldn't you be in agreement? Like, that would be the best. That would be plan A.
Oh, going after Deshaun? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but I just, in everything that I'm reading, everything that I'm hearing, you know, is this become more of a personal thing with the Texans? Like, you know, they've dug their heel in the sand and saying, we're not going to trade you. You're going to play for this team or you're not going to play for anyone else. Well, they weren't that way with Watt. they just let Watt walk away. And again, not that they would ever let Watson walk away, but obviously not just the Jets. I'm sure that there are a number of teams that would be interested in Deshaun Watson. The Miami Dolphins. The Raiders, the 49ers, Washington. Boy, let me tell you something. I said this yesterday. If Deshaun Watson goes to Washington with that defense, ridiculous. Hashtag run, don't walk. I would put down money that Washington wins the NFC East if he ends up in Washington. But there's a chance, and had this conversation with Mike Tannenbaum and Chris Canty last week on New York Game Day, and you know, there's a lot of people who feel like, you know, this Texans organization, they're so hell-bent on not trading him and not giving in to a player's demands that there's a chance that we might not even see Deshaun Watson play football this coming season, which I think would be just really, really sad on so many levels. So in my opinion, in regard for the Jets, plan A, try to do whatever you can to package a deal, a reasonable deal, and go and get Deshaun Watson. I think for me, that's plan A. Plan B, stick with Sam Darnold, trade down, give that number two pick to a team, an organization that might fall in love with Zach Wilson. Trade down. Maybe you go down far enough. If Matt Jones, if he's still on the board, you draft him anyway. You bring him in. Now you've got him and Sam Darnold. And you've got Sam Darnold for a year to work with. You've got so much now. If you do trade down, you've got so much draft stock, even more so than going in. Like Steve said, go out and, you know, get another tackle. Get some bookend offensive tackles to protect Sam Darnold. You've got a lot of money in free agency. Listen, Chris Godwin is a free agent. There's a number of impressive wide receivers that are coming into the season that are going to be free agents. Address the wide receiver position, not just in free agency, but apparently there's a lot of depth at the wide receiver position in this draft. There's a lot of depth at the offensive line position in this draft as well. And so trade down, compile some draft picks and help build this team from within. To me, that would be plan B. But I just don't know if moving on from Sam Darnold with Zach Wilson is the wisest decision for this team and this organization. Now, you know, obviously if they had the number one overall pick, then, you know, obviously that conversation is different because Trevor Lawrence is we've heard from Todd McShay and many, many others, you know, a generational talent. You know, somebody like Trevor Lawrence only comes along, you know, once every decade. So, you know, obviously the conversation would be much different if the Jets were picking number one overall, because it's Trevor Lawrence and then everybody else. So just food for thought. 800-919-3776. We'll take your calls. Also, so I asked Ty this. I'm sure, you know, Ty, you have an Alexa, right?
I do.
And you just heard, she listens to every, by the way, they listen to everything we say.
That is true. True story.
So anyway, it's fun. You can play. See, I don't want to say it too loud, but here, you could play Jeopardy on the device. And on Sundays, it's sports
Jeopardy
on the device. So I thought we would have some fun this morning, and I'm really, like, you know me, I'm a very competitive person. So I get very competitive every morning when I play this on this device. And so I thought maybe you could help me out this morning, because I would like to go, I would like to get every single one answered correctly. Are you ready? Are you ready for that challenge, Ty?
I'm ready.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Happy Valentine's Sunday morning to you. Anita Marks with you until noon, and then Carlin and Wischusen coming your way. So a lot of local sports talk, which is fantastic. especially in the off season. I'm sure they will dive into a lot of Knicks and Nets talk as well. Both teams coming off of wins last night. They're off today. They'll be back in action on Monday. Let's before we play this fun game. And I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm really competitive, Ty. So, dude, I need you to step up here. Let's go to our phone lines. Let's go to Chris in Rockaway. He wants to talk about Deshaun Watson going to the Jets. Chris, what you got for us?
Hey, how's it going? So I think the one thing I'd mention is, as a Jets fan and a Deshaun Watson fan, if the McNairs are the worst owners in the NFL, I'd have to say the Johnsons are probably 1A or 1B or 1C. I don't even want Deshaun to come here. It's like having a friend get out of a terrible relationship and setting him up with someone not as great, not as terrible, but still not good. I think the best bet we have is keep Sam, maybe bring in a Jameis Winston or a Mariota, someone who's a genuine, someone who could play and be a genuine playoff contender if Sam gets hurt, which he will. But I just think our structure is so fundamentally wrong. Deshaun Watson wouldn't want to go from terrible to not that great. What do you think, I guess, on that?
You know, and Chris, thanks for the phone call. I understand your concerns in regard to, you know, the track record and the history here with the Jets. But, you know, I want to believe that, you know, I do believe in Joe Douglas. And everything that I've heard and I've spoken to with folks in and around the league say that Robert Saleh is hands down the best coaching hire. So now you combine those two. I want to believe that the culture is going to change here in New York with the Jets. That's what I want to believe in. That's what I want to buy in. That's what I want to invest in. And let's face it, I think any, you know, the grass is greener. I think anywhere Deshaun Watson goes, even though it might not be perfect, head and shoulders 100 times better than the situation and in the experience that he's had in Houston with the Texans. So. All right, let's have some fun with this. Not sure if everybody knows, but if you do have an Alexa, there you go, you could play Jeopardy.
I'm here, ready to help.
Alexa, play Jeopardy. So it's kind of cool. I play every morning, but Sundays, it's Sports Jeopardy.
And welcome. Players, it's Sunday, which means it's time for Sports Clues.
Woo!
You can play Sports Jeopardy or catch up on the clues from this week. Which would you like to play?
Oh, we want to play Sports Jeopardy, Alexa.
Here are the Sports Jeopardy clues for this week.
You ready, Ty?
Our first Jeopardy category is athletes hosting Saturday Night Live. During his turn as host in 2020, this Houston Texan starred in a commercial for Oil of Brolay.
Is it Watt or Watson?
Please respond in the form of a
question. Ty, you there?
I'm here. Who is JJ Watt?
Who is JJ Watt?
Excellent.
Ty, good job.
How was the president when? Name the person who was president of the U.S. when the event in the clue took place. The USSR boycotted the Olympics.
Repeat.
Again, the category is I was the president when the USSR boycotted the Olympics.
So what was that, 84?
I believe so.
Would it be who is Jimmy Carter?
The correct response was who is Ronald Reagan? Your next Jeopardy category
is
America's Cup. The Challengers Series, which determines who will race the defender, is named for this luggage maker.
Repeat.
Again, the category is the America's Cup. The Challengers Series, which determines who will race the defender, is named for this luggage maker.
Give me a luggage designer.
I have no clue.
Please respond in the form of a question, starting with phrases like, who is or what is?
We don't know.
The correct response was, who is Louis Vuitton?
Oh, we should have known that!
The Jeopardy category is MLB Triple Crown winners. Back in the dead ball era, this Georgia Peach won the Triple Crown with 9 home runs.
Ty?
Please respond in the form of a question.
Georgia Peach.
Like, who is or what is?
Who is Ty Cobb?
Who is Ty Cobb?
Good job.
Woo!
Your fifth category is under pressure. After spinning off into the grass after contact with Richard Petty's car, this driver limped to victory in the Daytona 500.
Is it Earnhardt?
Please respond in the form of a question, starting with phrases like, who is or what is?
Who is Dale Earnhardt?
That's not it. The correct response was, who is David Pearson? Today's sixth Jeopardy category is curling. Curling matches are divided into 10 innings, which are more often known as this terminal term.
I have no idea, and I love curling.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Please respond in the form of a question, starting with phrases like, who is...
These are hard, right?
Yeah, this one's tough.
We don't know.
The correct response was, what are N's? The seventh Jeopardy category is American Idol. While still an amateur, this tennis great became the first African-American man to win the U.S. Open.
Who is Arthur Ashe?
You're right. Your next category is the sea. Nicknamed Jimmy Slade, this surfer is an 11-time world champion.
Who's the dude that's married to the volleyball player?
No, the correct response was, who is Kelly Slater? Our ninth Jeopardy category is bowling. This bird is the word for what you've accomplished by bowling three strikes in a row.
What is a turkey?
What is a turkey?
Yes, that's it. Your 10th Jeopardy category is karate. There is no set order for the colored belt system, but beginners typically start with this color.
I think it's yellow.
It might be yellow.
What is yellow?
Yellow belt.
Sorry,
no.
The correct response was, what is white? Your category is the 1984 NBA draft. The third and fourth picks, Michael Jordan and Sam Perkins, were teammates at this state's university.
That's easy. UNC.
What is UNC?
You're right. Your final category is Battle of the Sexes. In 2003, she entered the Bank of America Colonial Tournament as the first woman in a PGA event in over 50 years.
That's your alley.
Who is Annika Sorenstam?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes!
All right.
How do we do?
Let's see how you did on this set.
Not bad. You scored 6 out of 12 clues today. Your score for today puts you in the middle of our rankings.
All right, Ty.
That's
6 of
bad.
12. Not bad.
That's not
bad. 50%. 50%. Anyway, it's so fun. It's all you have to do is just ask Alexa, you know, play Jeopardy, and Sundays are sports Jeopardies.
I'm mad so about the white belt and the Ronald Reagan question. I should have had.
Oh, and the LV.
Yeah,
the baggage Ronald company.
The Ronald Reagan question. I should have.
So
had.
There, I mean, so there's three we should have had. We should have had the Ronald Reagan. We should have had the white belt. And we should have had the LV luggage bag as the main sponsor. So, you know, again, we went 6-12. We could have gone 9-12. We were that close. Anyway, I do this on Sunday mornings anyway. I thought it'd be fun. We make it a part of our Sunday show. I don't know. Maybe our sales department could go out there and sell it, and we can have some fun with it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, it'll be our last segment. Phone lines are open, 800-919-3776. Alex, I'm sorry. I'm going to a break right now. Hang tight, dude. And by the way, Godspeed. Alex Trebek, I tell you. Which, by the way, you know, you heard that Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of the fill-in hosts for Jeopardy coming up. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that. I did.
So I'm.
If someone else, didn't we mention on the show yesterday? It was Aaron Rodgers. Someone else.
It's Katie Couric. There's quite a few. There's the actress from was it Elf? She now has that show, the Cat Cafe or something like that. Anyway. I definitely will be tuning in when Aaron Rodgers is hosting. That's for sure. Had Moke Hamilton on a little bit earlier, talking about, of course, the Nets and the Knicks. Next time they will be back in action will be Monday. You've got Atlanta in town taking on the Knicks. Tip-off is at 7:30. You'll be able to listen to that game right here on 98.7 ESPN. And then the Nets, their West Coast trip continues. They will go to Sacramento, and they will take on the Kings at 10 o'clock on Monday. We opened up the show and kind of stumbled upon if we were to have $100, where would we invest it? Would we invest it in the Dallas Mavericks or the Knicks making it to the postseason? Obviously, the odds in return that you get for the Knicks is better. I want to say, what did we say? It was plus 210. So you lay $100, you win 210 if the Knicks make it to the postseason. For the Mavs, it's minus, what do we say, minus 280, something like that. So you're laying $100, you're only getting, let's say, $35 back. So have we decided, because when the show's over, you know, I'm going to make a side bet for myself. I'm putting $100 that the Knicks make it to the postseason. But this is your $100 to do with it what you so choose. Have you made a decision yet,
Ty? All right, so I'm going to go on record and say this.
Mm-hmm.
I think both teams will end up making the playoffs. That is with the caveat of the Knicks not being sellers at the deadline. But if I had to bet just $100 on one team making it, I'm going with the Luka Doncic and the Mavs.
Okay. I wanted to see here if there's any way that I could put that into a parlay, but it's not allowing me to do it. So if I could parlay both Dallas, and if I could find a site that allows me to parlay that futures bet, Dallas and the Knicks, is that something that you would be
absolutely yes, hit me up if that's something you're able to find.
All right, that homework assignment for Anita today, and I will see if there is a site out there that will let me parlay futures bets on both Dallas and the Knicks making it to the postseason. We'll see what happens there. So a lot of obviously you know, hopefully, you know, good vibes, exciting to watch the Knicks play right now. Obviously, I'm sure as we get closer to the trade deadline in regards to the NBA, we'll hear more and more about Bradley Beal. Will that be a move that the Knicks will make? We'll see. Only time will tell. Again, I want to thank Mo Hamilton, who was on with us a little bit earlier. Also, Harry Carson joined us on the show in our second hour. It was so great to hear from him. To talk about, you know, the obstacles and the challenges that minorities and minority coaches are facing when it comes to the hiring process in the NFL, and we're all hoping that eventually that can change and that situation and that scenario get better. Also, I think one thing, two things I think you need to keep an eye on this week, and I really didn't touch a lot on this today, and that is. Well, first things first, TJ Watt, JJ Watt was released by the Houston Texans. So I think a lot is going to be focused on where is he going to go? Where is he going to land? You could actually wager on this as well. Pittsburgh Steelers are favored as the landing spot. Why? Because he could be booking defensive ends with his brother, who, as we know, TJ Watt plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and also their brother Derek is the fullback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That odd is plus 150. So you could plus 150 that Watt ends up in Pittsburgh with his two bros. How about this? The Tampa Bay Bucks at plus 400, along with the Green Bay Packers at plus 400. I was reading a report. As we know, Watt, the family, they're from the Midwest, big Green Bay Packer fans, and also his wife plays soccer for the Chicago, the women's soccer team. So there's some talk and speculation that he will end up in the Midwest, whether it be with the Green Bay Packers. You can wager on that at plus 400 or the Chicago Bears at plus 700, 7-1, 4-1, 7-1. Those are those odds. Also very interesting. The Baltimore Ravens landing place for Watt as well as 6-1. Some other teams mentioned out there, the Dallas Cowboys, the Patriots, and the Rams. Can you imagine Watt on the Rams? I love the Rams to win the Super Bowl already. He did say that he wants to go to a team that he's going to win. So keep an eye on that and see what happens there, because now here's my part two to this Watt discussion. And that is, both Pouncey brothers retired this week from the NFL. And, you know, the one in particular obviously played center for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pouncey has always said, I'm going to continue to play in the NFL as long as Ben Roethlisberger plays. So I know there has not been an announcement yet. And again, let me preface, I'm not reporting anything. I don't have any sources. Just based on what I've heard Pouncey say before in the past, I anticipate and won't be surprised if we hear that Ben Roethlisberger is going to announce his retirement this week. Again, I'm not reporting that it's going to happen. I just won't be surprised. But if it does happen, it makes the Steelers, first of all, I'm hashtag run, don't walk. I'm going to put a ton of money on the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North. If you're a big Browns fan, then feel free to do the same with the Browns. You know, not going to be mad at you. Obviously, they were quite impressive. Stefanski, again, coach of the year this year. But I just, the Ravens, and I have for several years, and you know how much I love Lamar Jackson. And so, actually, you might want to put, if you feel the same way I do about the Baltimore Ravens, you might want to put some money on them now before that announcement comes down that Ben Roethlisberger might retire, because obviously those odds will change. Right now, you can bet that the Baltimore Ravens are going to win that AFC North division at plus 150 as well. They're favored to win the division at plus 150, so it's plus money. I have a feeling that if or when Ben Roethlisberger announced his retirement, I think those odds could change. So if you agree with me, you might want to jump on that now. So again, this week, keep an eye on that. I think that's going to be a really big storyline, the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, not just a potential landing place for Watt, but also what potentially may or may not happen with Ben Roethlisberger. You know, and again, there's so many quarterback storylines out there in what could happen with trades. I think, you know, possibly the Carson Wentz trade could come down this week. And I had Dave Spadaro on my show yesterday on Saturday. And well, he was on Friday, and we talked about, you know, what all went wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles and where Carson Wentz is headed, and he feels he's headed to the Colts. And again, I think the Colts are a sneaky good team. I'm one of the very few in between who actually believe that Carson Wentz is better than what we've seen this past year in Philadelphia. It's been peaks and valleys when it comes to Carson Wentz's career. And I think adding him to that Colts team with Frank Wright as that head coach and the success that they had while he was in Philadelphia, along with that offensive line, the weapons that they have, solid defense, I think the Colts could be a sneaky good team. So I guess what I'm saying is I think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Phillip Rivers. And don't be shocked if the Colts make some noise this coming NFL season, let alone in the postseason, potentially, I don't know, make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm just throwing it out there. Also, a lot of talk and speculation in regard to Russell Wilson, what could happen there. So, you know, there's obviously that's going to be a hot topic this week in regard to the quarterback carousel in the NFL, because as we get closer to free agency, teams needing to solidify what their quote unquote needs are in free agency before the draft begins, because it's always great to any team and any NFL team to go into an NFL draft and drafting best player on the board, as opposed to drafting a player because that's what you need, right? You know, when you're in that war room, you want to draft off the best player available board, as opposed to the board that has the players listed in regard to need. That's always an advantage. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's been a fun show. Ty, thanks for playing with me, and thank you for producing the show. You always do a great job.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.